Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, Glenn, huge breaking news from the New York Times. The raid, this is the headline, Maggie Haberman and company, the raid on Trump's lawyers sought records on the Access Hollywood tape. And the judge in the case involving Cohn and Stormy Daniels said, can both sides of you go work this out? This is ridiculous. And although I doubt that's going to happen based on some of the TV appearances that I've seen by so many. Anyway, glad you are with us. The president today has pretty much made it known something that I have been saying is coming, and that is that enough is enough. And the president's not going to take it anymore. And the president's not going to be a punching bag anymore. And the president's not going to make himself available anymore on all of this stuff. I'll get into that in a second. James Comey apparently already did his sit down as it relates to George Stephanopoulos. Now, think about this. George Stephanopoulos, the number one Clinton sycophant in the entire news media, gets James Comey's first interview. And so they're promoting his questions. One of them is about an answer, I guess, that Comey gives comparing Donald Trump to a mob boss. Listen.
How strange is it for you to sit here and compare the president to a mob boss?
This Sunday night on ABC.
Are there things that you know but haven't said that could damage President Trump?
James Comey.
And to those who say you should have brought Hillary Clinton before a grand jury?
The exclusive interview everyone will be talking about.
Was President Trump obstructing justice? Should Donald Trump be impeached?
Stephanopoulos, Comey, this Sunday night at a special time, 10, 9 Central on ABC.
You know, it's always about the Corleone family. It's always about the Trump crime family. What about the Mueller crime family? Or the Comey crime family? Or the Hillary Clinton crime family? Why is it all the Trump crime family? You know, I told Michael, this business isn't for Sonny, yes. Donald Jr., no. Donald, don't get into this business. But they get in anyway. And look at where we are.
I mean, is this really what we have? Why are you laughing? I don't think it's that good.
I love it, man. It's freaking great.
I mean, we got Comey now comparing the president of the United States to a crime family. So which crime family is, you know, which mobster is it? Is it Al Capone? You know, let's see, Chicago-based, you know, he has it at the Capone family and the mafia boss. Let's see, gambling, prostitution, bootlegging, narcotics trafficking, robbery, bribery, murder, extortion. Pretty long list for Al Capone. So let's compare the president of the United States, former FBI director. You know who is most angry at Comey of everybody that I know are people in the FBI. You know who's most angry at Mueller are people in the FBI and in the intelligence community. They think this is so far of an overreach. And what they're now doing is they're creating a constitutional showdown here. And the president's not gonna take it anymore. And I'll get into his tweets about this in just a second. Or maybe we'll compare. What are we comparing him to? Lucky Luciano? You know, crime boss? Organized crime, 1930s? Let's see. Luciano was sentenced to 30 to 50 years in jail. He got a shorter term, by the way. Many people don't know this, in exchange for helping the U.S. military during World War II. And part of that had to do with the U.S. Navy's plan and its invasion of Italy. And he used some of his Italian connections, apparently, according to the sources. What are we going to compare it? What, now John Gotti, the head of New York's Gambino crime family? You know, we'll compare him to him. Let's see. He was charged with, jury convicted Gotti of 13 murders and a slew of other crimes after he had gotten off many, many times. And Gotti received life in prison without the possibility of parole, and he died in prison. Let's see. Who else? Maybe Frank Lucas. Remember Frank Lucas? Remember Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe? They did a great job in that movie. It was incredible about the life story of Frank Lucas. He was a big, he was largely responsible for the influx of heroin into New York City in the 1970s and bringing it in direct from Vietnam with a purity that nobody had ever seen before. And a drug enforcement agency task force eventually got the best of him. He was sentenced to 70 years in prison. He actually then became best friends with the guy that put him in jail, who became a lawyer, which is an interesting sidebar. If you haven't watched the movie, I think it's worth watching. Anyway, so this is where we are, and it speaks volumes what we're seeing here. If you got a special counsel Mueller, who's now going into the president's personal attorney's office, home, and hotel room and stealing everything, and then we're just being told, just trust us. Really? We're supposed to trust you? Well, maybe if Comey is going to make this characterization, compare the president to a mob family and a mob boss, well, then we'll start examining the Comey crime family. And we'll start talking about, him leaking privileged information, which he's not allowed to do, and government information to a professor at Columbia for the sole purpose that his BFF Robert Mueller get appointed. And then maybe we can talk about Comey and the Comey crime family and the activities he had with Peter Strzok when they were exonerating Hillary Clinton of multiple felonies that we all know were committed. And then, of course, I guess as part of that would be Peter Strzok's lover, which, of course, is Lisa Page. And you got Comey, you got Strzok, you got Page, part of this crime family, the Comey crime family. And then, of course, we can add to that Andrew McCabe, because, you know, they had their insurance policy plan B if, God forbid, Donald Trump won. And I guess we could probably add to the list Loretta Lynch's part of that family. You know, we got the Obama deep state crime family. We can talk about that. We could talk about the Mueller crime family. Look at Mueller. Here you've got Rod Rosenstein's at the top of that list. Rod Rosenstein, who himself should have been conflicted out of appointing Mueller in the first place. McCabe is a part of both families, I guess. Then we've got Rod Rosenstein, you know, appointing Mueller. Rod Rosenstein also, which I think is pretty funny, himself, he's involved in nefarious activities and God only knows what. And, you know, we're now getting, this is now it. So the president has no real option or choice here. And any lawyer that would recommend that he talk to Mueller after the crap that Mueller pulled in the last, you know, couple of days is out of their mind. Robert Mueller cannot be trusted. Rod Rosenstein, okay, the guy that didn't want any information about the FISA abuse coming to fruition, none. He ran interference. He's the guy that also signed off on the renewal of the FISA warrant against Carter Page, Trump associate, that used what we now know are Hillary Clinton bought and paid for lies that were put together by a foreign national to manipulate the American people in an election. They didn't tell the FISA judge the truth. That would be Rod Rosenstein who's guilty of that. And Rod Rosenstein, you know, the same guy that slow walks every bit of information about FISA abuse, about information involving the Clinton email server, about lying to FISA judges. So I guess he's got his own family. And then I guess we can look at the Clinton crime family, which is at the nexus of everything. If we're going to make all these mob connections, as this is now the language that James Comey wants to use, I guess we can all use his analogy, I guess. You know, and if you're going to compare the president to a mobster and a murderer and a drug dealer and somebody involved in extortion and prostitution, the only true thing is he was involved in gambling, but that was legal gambling because he did have casinos at some point in his career. Now, at this point, the president really has no choice. What has happened here, and everybody needs to understand what's gone on here, is Robert Mueller was negotiating with the president's attorneys for an interview, And they were negotiating what the terms, what the conditions would be, what the follow-ups would be, what the topics would be. None of it had to do with Stormy Daniels. I can tell you my sources have confirmed that. None of it had to do with Karen McDougal. None of it had to do with Access Hollywood. And at the very same time, Mueller is supposedly negotiating in good faith with the president's legal team. Well, now we have him coordinating with the Southern District of New York to go in and raid the files of the president's personal attorney, which means they now have a deep dive into everything and anything Trump. And that basically, and I agree with Dershowitz. Dershowitz is 1,000% right. Probably Michael Cohen's constitutional rights were violated just by seizing his records. And I think there's going to, now this is going to be a long, long, protracted, never-ending fight. Because obviously, this has become a runaway train by a rogue prosecutor that's got an agenda, and the agenda is to literally undo, along with his deep state friends, a duly elected president and push Trump out of power by any means necessary. You know, I know for a fact that they provided, what, unprecedented amounts of documents to Robert Mueller and his team. Over millions of pages. Documents. Dozens of witnesses. They didn't assert a single privilege up to this point at all. And they haven't even threatened to do so. And then while the lawyers for Trump are preparing to meet with the special counsel for the interview he requested, while that's all happening, you got literally a raid going on in the home and offices of the personal attorney of the president of the United States, seizing documents on all issues that have nothing to do with Russia. And now they're leaking to the New York Times, well, we're looking into the Stormy Daniels issue and the Karen McDougal issue, and we're looking into the Access Hollywood. What does that, any of this have to do with Trump-Russia collusion? You do understand that the only reason that we are in this situation is because they can't find any collusion. And I do believe that they definitely, you know, want to set this president off so that he ends up firing everybody, and then they can say, see, he's obstructing justice. Never mind that the so-called justice in this case is non-existent. It's a witch hunt. Anyway, the president had a lot of hard-hitting tweets today. He said so much fake news about what's going on in the White House, but things are very calm, very calculated. Big focus on open and fair trade in China, the coming North Korea meeting, and, of course, the vicious gas attack in Syria. President tweets, it feels great to have John Bolton and Larry Kudlow on board. We're doing things nobody thought was possible, despite the never-ending and corrupt Russia investigation, which takes tremendous time and focus. Well, now it's gone way beyond what its mandate is, and with the approval of Rod Rosenstein once again, which raises questions about, well, what can be done about Rod Rosenstein? We'll get to that in a second. Anyway, and the president goes on. And he says, no collusion, no obstruction, other than I fight back. You know, Trey Gowdy once said, this isn't how innocent people act. And I'm like, yeah, that's how innocent people act. They scream they're innocent. Anyway, so now they do the unthinkable. They raid a lawyer's office for information. Very bad. And then now we have a situation, the president tweeted out, about Russia now vowing to shoot down any and all missiles that might be fired at Syria in retaliation for the gas attack against innocent men, women, and children. So now the president's saying, get ready, Russia, because they will be coming. Nice, new, and smart missiles is what he's talking about. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. And the president says, our relationship with Russia is now worse than it's ever been, and that includes the Cold War. What a statement that is. Now think about it. Then he goes on to say, there's no reason for this. Russia needs us to help with their economy, something that would be very easy to do. We need all nations working together to stop the arms race, ? And he says much of the bad blood with Russia is caused by the fake and corrupt Russia investigation headed up by the all democratic loyalists, what we've been pointing out, or people that work for Obama, the deep state. Mueller's the most conflicted of all, except for Rosenstein, who signed the FISA renewal and the Comey letter. It's all true. No collusion, so they go crazy. That's about it. No collusion. They've gone nuts. And now we're being, we have a former FBI director comparing the president to a mob boss. I can't, you cannot make this up. But now what it's going to be is this is going to be a year, 2 years of nonstop war, political war in the country. And by the way, will hamper the ability of the president to do his job, which hurts the American people, all because a few people in the higher echelons of power are protecting themselves, not handing over documents related to their investigations, and doing anything possible to get anything on Trump to distract from all of the real issues that we know occurred. Well, this is a pretty good sign that something is going on in Syria. Russian warships, in spite of Moscow vowing to shoot down any American missiles that might be fired on Syria. Well, now we have a report that 11 Russian destroyers and guided missile carriers have now fled Russia's major naval port in Syria, likely to avoid being destroyed in what is an expected U.S. cruise missile attack in response to Syria's use of poison gas. Does anyone ever notice that Donald Trump, all the times that he confronts, let's see, North Korea, China, Russia, they always back down? And that's something that the left never seemed to understand in their lives. You know, and that's why I, you know, at this point, now that, you know, Comey is viewing Donald Trump as I never wanted Donald Jr. to get into this business, ever. It was always to be the Corleone business, not the Trump business. And now he's in, and he can't get out.
All right, so we'll use that. Let's see. Then I guess we could talk about McCabe and Rosenstein and Baker and Comey himself, you know, all part of a big crime family. And Strzok and Page are part of the big crime family. Bruce Ohr and his wife Nellie is, maybe we'll put Jeannie Ray in the crime family. And Andrew Weissman is definitely in the crime family. And obviously Mueller's in the crime family. And let's see, who else are we going to put in this crime family? Oh, Christopher Steele, Hillary Clinton. Well, we have a whole separate crime family.
The Clinton crime family is the worst. Their tactics are brutal. The amount of bloodshed.
25 till the top of the hour. How do you let Hillary Clinton get away with destroying subpoenaed emails, deleting them, acid washing them, bleach bit, hard drives, the whole bit, hammers, devices, and on top of all of it, violating you're not allowed to mishandle classified top secret special access program information, by the way. And, you know, all these foreign intelligence agencies hacked into that mom and pop shop server. That means Russia had classified top secret special access programming information. Yeah, the hostile Russia, that one. China, that means North Korea, that means Iran. Who else did? Yeah, thank you, Hillary.
Did you wipe the server?
What, like with a cloth or something?
No.
So she gets away with all of that. Comey and company.
The Comey crime family. The Clinton crime family. It's like a bunch of Fredos. That nobody here is like, nobody's like Michael. I never wanted Don Jr. or Michael to get into this business. I warned them. I said, no politics.
This is not okay.
Well, now it's going this way. House Freedom Caucus member and chairman Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan, they're out there saying, you know what? We're going to hold these top officials in the Justice Department in contempt of Congress, starting with Rod Rosenstein, for stonewalling on the documents, not listening to subpoenas, ignoring them, pertaining to the FBI surveillance abuse scandal, adding that they would back their threat by the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes to impeach the FBI Director Christopher Wray for the same offense. Now they're raiding Michael Cohen's home, office, and hotel room. But yet Congress, they get away with not handing over subpoenaed documents, which constitutionally they have to do. So now they have, 2 days to save their jobs. This is going to get interesting. Ron DeSantis saying the House will pursue contempt charges against the Department of Justice if we don't have documents by tomorrow. A lot of people, look, even Joe DiGenova was saying, all these anti-Trumpers, Rosenstein, Ray, they're leading a soft coup against the president. They want to undo an election. I've been telling you, and I've been right. I wish I was wrong. And now we've got Comey calling the president a mob boss, Comey the celebrity. Alan Dershowitz said it really well yesterday. But he said to Mueller, just stop. What are you doing? Just stop. So we're going to have to see what happens. In the middle of this, we're waiting and watching. We expect a strike on Syria probably anytime soon. And you got Chuck Schumer. We need to protect Mueller. No, we don't, actually. This is driving the left insane because there's absolutely zero doubt that the president has the right to fire Mueller. Is it the wise thing to do politically? No. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders said it yesterday, reminded them that it was the Obama administration Solicitor General Neil Katyal who was one of the authors of the pertinent regulations that we're talking about here. And it's pretty much a fait accompli. All the president has to do is take one, you know, executive action, and he can fire all of them, including Mueller and Rosenstein and company. I saw that Dan Abrams, who runs Law News and Mediaite, he was on Good Morning America with Hillary BFF Georgie Stephanopoulos. And anyway, he said that if Michael Cohen is likely to be indicted and that the case, in that case, the president will certainly pardon him. We all know that the power of the pardon is absolute. I didn't even thought about it till I read that today. But that's a good point. So we're going to end up doing this for nothing? And we have, so McConnell is actually saying legislation to protect Mueller is not needed. Paul Ryan just has had enough. He said, I'm retiring at the end of this term. Senate GOP leaders, you have even people like, believe it or not, Charles Grassley pushing to protect Mueller. Why? Mueller's gone rogue. This is a runaway train. This is off the rails. This is stuff that we never thought we'd see happen in this country. Now this has moved into the Access Hollywood tape, Karen McDougal, and apparently Stormy is now a witness for Robert Mueller's special counsel. All right, so now what the president has no choice. Obviously, they don't want to negotiate in good faith, so now he's going to go to war. And we'll see what happens. And the president can directly fire Mueller. I don't think he should at this point. That's what they want him to do. That's what they're praying that he does. The only one that seems to have it right in the Senate is Rand Paul. That this is a witch hunt and he abused his authority. The other person that got that right was Alan Dershowitz. A total witch hunt. And what does any of this have to do with Russia collusion? I love this headline. NBC News, Stormy Daniels is cooperating with the feds producing, probing Trump's attorney. Stormy Daniels. They're talking about a possibility of an in-kind campaign contribution. Is there anything else? Now they're even talking about taxi medallions. I'm saying taxi medallions. What are you talking about? So Mark Meadows, I think, is pretty clear that Sessions, Rosenstein, and should be in held in contempt and Ray be impeached here. And I don't think they're messing around either. How is it we only get information on some crimes and not? How does Hillary get away with all the crimes? The double standard is annoying. All right, Chris in Sussex, New Jersey. Chris, how are you? You're on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up, my friend?
How are you, buddy? Listen, being retired from law enforcement, I gathered some intelligence on James Comey. You see, I happen to work in Allendale, New Jersey, which is his hometown. And it was interesting because I came across the information that the whole family is unusually tall. They took full advantage of what they call height privilege by sitting in the front row at church and depriving people in the back to see the priest. And it was very unkind of them to do that. They could have sat anywhere. And a lot of people had bad things to say about James Comey just for that reason.
You know the people that now are most critical to James Comey and this whole witch hunt that I know are FBI people. And they feel like their entire life's work. I know you're cracking up at this guy talking about church.
No, but Chris, you got to say it again. It's hysterical. So people are upset because he's blocking the priest? Is that what's happening at your church? They can't even listen to the homily because he's blocking the view.
He's blocking the view. This is exactly what he was doing. He knew full well what he was doing, too. And people actually tried to get to church earlier to obtain the front row seats that he used to occupy. And it was causing dissension in the church.
Well, you know what the problem is. Comey has so many sins, he's got to get in there earlier. Jesus Christ can't get to them all. That's the problem.
You're the best, Linda.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm glad you two have a great little thing going on here. All right. Chris is in Atlanta, News Talk WSP. Chris says, I'm lying. What am I lying about?
Well, first of all, Sean, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Let me tell you what you're lying about. You know, the truth is the truth, and it has nothing to do with right or left. Let me tell you and lead up to what
all right, I asked you a question. Tell me where I'm lying and stop wasting our time. Go ahead.
I'm telling you the answer.
All right.
Whenever a cop it shoots an unarmed man or something happens in society where a cop is involved, you always say,
don't rush to judgment.
Don't rush to judgment.
You're right.
Until all of the evidence come in.
Okay. Correct? Now, wait a minute. But this is the difference. We've now had over 14 months, in some cases 15 and 16 months worth of investigations on this. Can you give me a single shred of evidence related to Trump-Russia collusion? Anything. What is it?
Investigation is not over.
Okay.
It's not over.
Again, I repeat, 16 months. Look at what the country's Look at what the country's being put through. Now we're invading the homes of personal attorneys of the president of the United States. And the New York Times is writing about, well, Mueller is investigating the Access Hollywood tape, Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. Do you think there's any information about collusion with any of those people? Any information about Russian collusion? Answer.
Yes, I do. Yes.
You think Stormy Daniels has information about Russian collusion?
If you'll let me answer.
What does Stormy have on Russian collusion?
I am trying to answer. The Russia investigation, sir, is not over.
Okay, now you're a broken record. You've already said that. I'm asking you, in 15 months, 16 months, we have nothing. As a matter of fact, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to Democrats saying we have nothing.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that, to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
you've
made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
Okay. On the DNC.
The hacking.
And on some of us, you know.
But the collusion, though.
No.
Collusion.
We have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
The big questions, of course, is there any evidence of collusion you have seen yet? Is there?
Listen, there is a lot of smoke. We have a smoking gun at this point, but there is a lot of smoke.
There's smoke. All right, I can go on forever, Chris, after 16 months. So, all right, now my next question is, those are Democrats. I have my next question. Tell me how Stormy Daniels is connected to Russia collusion. Go.
The Russia collusion investigation on Donald Trump.
Okay, now you've said it 10 times. Here's my question. You said to me that Stormy Daniels is somehow related to Russia collusion. Tell me how, or I got to say goodbye.
Investigation is not over.
Okay.
Why, son? Tell the truth.
Okay.
You
know what it is? You want this. You're like the media. You want this to be true so bad. You don't care what it's going to take to get there. You don't care if you shred the Constitution. You don't give a flying rip that this now is occupying, literally tearing the country apart. You don't care what Greg Jarrett said about seizing a lawyer's files in an effort. Is it a total affront to the system of justice we have? It's extremely unprincipled. This is so far outside the scope of Mueller's investigation. You sound silly trying to defend that. So, you know, at this point, I suspect this is all an effort to provoke the president into fighting against, you know, the special counsel and maybe firing him. Anyway, all right, I'll give you one more chance. All right, do you have any evidence that Stormy has any Russia collusion knowledge?
The Russia investigation is not over. Stop lying to the American people.
Okay, I didn't lie. The Russia investigation is obviously not over, but it's gone into the weeds. And at the end of the day, I keep saying that this is well outside the mandate, and you're proving my point. You know, when the president, you know, this is the most conflicted and corrupt group of people we've ever seen. And that means Mueller. That means Comey. That means Mr. Trump's a crime boss. He's I told him, I said, don't be like Fredo. Be more like Michael. Michael's our guy. Don Jr., I never wanted this for you.
So when, you know, that's just the truth. Now, anybody that is watching, you have a right to be disgusted at what's going on here. It's not a crime to engage in contact to make somebody go away or to have a contract with Stormy Daniels. You know, I will tell you that this is now going to go on for years, because I would never recommend the president go anywhere near Mueller and Weissman and his merry band of Obama-Hillary donors, people that have been excoriated by judges for withholding exculpatory evidence, people that have multiple times put innocent people in jail, people that have been overturned 9-0 in the Supreme Court, people that have been held in judgments of over $100 million because of their behavior, people that lost tens of thousands of jobs because of their zealous overreach in past cases. That's the team that they put together. That's the Mueller team. And they're doing the same thing that they've always done. Patterns of behavior repeat themselves. And that's what's happening. All right, 800-941 Sean. Newt Gingrich, he's livid, apoplectic over what happened with Michael Cohen's office. This is pretty amazing. Alan Dershowitz, so he said to me in last night and tonight that if Robert Mueller's Stormy Daniels SWAT team had raided the offices of a lawyer who worked for a Democratic president, the ACLU would be on every network raising hell. Well, not only is the ACLU not complaining about the raid on Michael Cohen's office, they're defending it, which is what I've always known, is that the ACLU is conflicted out on all things liberal. Anyway, the American Civil Liberties Union published a pretty bizarre opinion piece by their legal director, you know, and defending the FBI raid. Of course, because it's anti-Trump. The five forces against Trump. I've been warning about the media, the Democratic Party, weak Republicans, never Trumpers, and of course, the infamous deep state. I think now people understand what I've been talking about. All right, Newt Gingrich is apoplectic about it. He's next. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. And joining us now, and some pretty strong words that I read, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich on this raid of the president's personal attorney's home, hotel room, and his offices. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing well. And I meant every single strong word that I said, particularly when you go all the way back to Paul Manafort and his wife in their pajamas at 3 o'clock in the morning, waking up to have the door broken in by folks who turn out to be the U.S. government. I mean, this is the behavior of a police state, not the behavior of a free country.
Well, let's start with where this now has gone. I think you're still in Europe, but and you probably haven't seen Maggie Haberman and company's big report in the New York Times that the raid on Trump's lawyers sought records on the Access Hollywood tape. This on top of now Stormy Daniels is now apparently a witness for the special counsel and the prosecution, and cooperating along with Karen McDougal. I thought this was about Trump-Russia collusion, and I don't
sure.
see...
Yeah. Let me be blunt here for a second. This is about Rob Rosenstein totally, completely failing to do his job. Failing. There's no grounds for an independent counsel looking into Russia to turn around and decide, oh, he has the right to look into everything. There's an old Stalin quote of the KGB agent who said, you show me the man, I'll find you the crime. Well, that's the opposite of the rule of law. And what we're watching right now is a group of left-wing lawyers in a department which gave 98% of its campaign donations to Hillary Clinton, who have gone after President Trump and everybody near him in a way which just contrasted with how much they protected Hillary Clinton and everyone near her. And any reasonable American understands that the very concept of the rule of law is under threat now, and it's under threat from the Justice Department, which is out of control and which has refused to turn over documents for 4 months to the Congress, has yet to release a report that was due in February about the number two guy in justice who was fired, McNabb, has failed to release the document that was due in March about Comey, who's about to go off on a self-aggrandizing, self-serving book tour.
By the way, you know Comey today called...
We're supposed to be reasonable.
And Comey's calling Trump a mob boss. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, and I think it just didn't... I mean, let's be really clear here. Comey is a self-serving person who we now know, and this was a real surprise to me when I read it yesterday, we now know in 2007, collaborated with Chuck Schumer to deliberately embarrass George W. Bush, who had appointed Comey. And the National Review had an article which step by step took apart any plausible excuse for believing that Comey is a serious citizen trying to do his job, and really outlining the case for which he is somebody who has consistently manipulated his way and focused on his own self-aggrandizement. And I think this kind of stuff, by the way, I will say to everybody that Craig Shirley has written a stunning article on the case of the Justice Department deep state versus conservatives, going back to Reagan and then to Bush 1 and then to Bush 2. You go through step by step by step, and you begin to realize that there's this continual pattern of the left-wing civil servants doing everything they can to undermine and cripple conservatives.
Do you have any doubt now that this is an effort to overthrow a duly elected president?
No, I think what you're seeing is an effort to have a judicial coup d'etat by a group of people who are so deeply, bitterly opposed to the president that they will do anything to get him, and by an elite news media, which is equally deeply opposed to the president. I talked to several reporters today, and every time I would say to them, show me one time when someone close to Hillary Clinton had their home broken in at 3 a.m. Show me one time when we've had the kind of intense persecution that we're getting here, and you can't find it.
It doesn't exist.
The Clinton people were protected over and over.
Here's what we do know, is that we know that Hillary violated 18 U.S.C. 793. She mishandled classified top secret special access programming information when she put it on that mom and pop shop server in a bathroom closet. We know that if Newt Gingrich ever deleted 33,000 subpoenaed email and acid washed his hard drive with bleach bit and beat up his devices where these emails may have gone to, meaning Blackberries and iPhones, that you would be arrested for obstructing justice. But then you've got the same players here. You've got Comey. Now look at Comey. He's the guy that told Donald Trump that the dossier was unverified and salacious in January of 2017. But in October 2016, they had no problem using that salacious, unverified dossier as the bulk of information to get a FISA warrant to spy on a Trump campaign associate. And now we see that they were able to get inside the Trump campaign backdoor. Now they're getting into Trump's business's backdoor by doing this raid, as Alan Dershowitz said, a violation of Michael Cohen's constitutional rights. And now they'll have access to everything Trump at this point.
Well, and let me point out to you for a second. And I thought Dershowitz last night on your show was just brilliant. And I thought you were doing the country a real service by letting a man of that stature, that background as a Harvard law professor, lay out. And it got liberal. This is not somebody you think of normally as pro-Trump, but he does believe in the Constitution. He does believe in the rule of law. And let me just point out, there's a general principle, at least in all the books I ever read, that if the process of getting to evidence is tainted, the evidence is inadmissible. Well, there were no grounds for Mueller to be getting any kind of evidence on the topics for which they're going after Cohen. So when he turns over this information, what's the legitimate ground for this? Why is he allowed to do this?
Yeah, we're told they'll have a taint team.
It's a fundamental violation of a core principle.
You know, I've been trying to warn people. Everybody, if you remember when Comey was appointed, you know, nearly a year ago now, everybody was such a good guy. And then I look at the team that he put together, all Clinton, Hillary, Obama donors, and his pit bull, what the New York Times describes Robert Mueller's pit bull, a guy by the name of Andrew Weissman.
And I've been talking about, oh, this is the guy that cost tens of thousands of Americans their job because he was overzealous in the Enron case, Anderson accounting case. Tens of thousands of people lost their job. He lost in the Supreme Court, was overturned 9-0. He put four Merrill executives in jail for a year. That was overturned by the Fifth Circuit. He's been excoriated by judges for withholding exculpatory evidence. And Robert Mueller, when he was working in Boston and his team was working with a confidential FBI informant close to Whitey Bulger, Whitey Bulger was committing murders. Four innocent people went to jail in that case. Two of them died in jail. They were found innocent and over $100 million paid later. And again, we're dealing with exculpatory evidence withheld. So I kept saying to anybody that would listen, I don't trust Mueller. He's not the man beyond reproach that everybody said. Look at the team he hired. Why would you ever hire Andrew Weissman to be a janitor at this point with anything to do with the law?
Well, I have to confess that as often happens, you were ahead of me. When Mueller was first appointed, I tweeted that I thought, given his reputation, people should, you know, relax and give him the benefit of the doubt. And then, like you, as I watched who he was hiring, I just thought, this is crazy. This verges on insane. I don't think he has a single pro-Trump lawyer on his entire team.
He doesn't.
Now, if Comey had put together an investigatory group on Hillary Clinton that had only hardline conservative Republicans, the left would have gone crazy. The New York Times would have gone crazy. CBS News would have gone crazy. But we're watching what, as I think, I mean, the president's right to say it's a witch hunt. This president, who is in the middle of achieving extraordinary things, lowest unemployment rate maybe in over a generation, the Chinese beginning to back down on trade violations, the North Koreans offering to negotiate on nuclear weapons, a huge amount of deregulation, conservative judges, tax cuts that are fueling economic growth, the lowest black unemployment rate, I think, maybe in American history.
Yeah, you and I are the only two people in America that ever talk about it besides the president. What do you think of Mark?
That's right.
Nobody cares, obviously, in the media. They don't say one good thing about the president. They're all locked into this obsessive, compulsive hatred that they have for the president. What about Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan? They're now saying that Sessions and Rosenstein will be held in contempt if they don't hand over documents and Ray should be impeached. What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, they absolutely are right to hold them in contempt. And I noticed that we also had Chairman Nunes say, I think yesterday, that he was moving towards thinking they should be impeached. And look, I think people need to ask a simple question. What is it that the Justice Department has learned that is so terrible that it has to be covered up? And why is it that for 4 months, is it because the bureaucracy is slow and stupid? It's because they know there is so much bad stuff in these documents that they are desperate to avoid releasing them. I think this is a huge deal. I've done a course on defending America, and in that course, I have an entire section on the rule of law, and I cannot overstate for our audience. If we lose the ability to have a genuine rule of law and we degenerate like Venezuela into a country where we have the rule of personalities, we have lost everything that we once thought America was.
Totally agree with that statement. Now, I guess the question is, well, the president can't trust Robert Mueller. He can't sit down and talk with this guy. They've been duplicitous in their negotiations. So the only option I see for the president is to hire the best lawyers and fight like hell and use the bully pulpit that he has to combat this. If he fires Mueller, then God only knows what's going to happen in the country.
Yeah, I think that would split the Republican Party and lead to chaos. I'm opposed to firing Mueller, but I think there are things the president could do that are much more clever than what he's been doing. First of all, his lawyers ought to send a simple letter to Mueller that says, you know, we're very willing to consider having an interview. Tell us what crimes you're investigating. What is this interview about?
I heard just before the raid of Michael Cohen that's what they were all doing, that the president was cooperating. They've never invoked executive privilege at any point. They've handed over millions of documents, I understand it. And apparently there's no goodwill here on the other side. This is now a witch hunt.
Of course, there's not. The other side is a lynch mob designed to destroy the president. But I think there's a very powerful question to ask Mark. What's the crime you're investigating? What is it you want to talk to the president about? What, tell us in advance.
Yeah.
What is it you think is a crime here? Because Mueller had a very specific instruction. You are supposed to look into Russia and into whether or not there's Russian collusion. And then, idiotically, Rosenstein, or maybe deliberately, willfully, and cleverly, Rosenstein added a little clause that says, in any other matter that you come across.
Yep. All right,
well,
stay right
crazy.
There.
That means I have a prosecutor who can look at everything in your entire life to find out whether there isn't something that they can get you on.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the end of a free society.
Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, I'll put this all in one last question. Now going forward, knowing what we know, what should the president do? Ryan is now out as Speaker at the end of the year. What should the Republican Party be doing, in your view?
Well, those are two very different questions. Let me just say, first of all, that everybody on the Republican side, starting with the president, should systematically really work on this whole issue of Justice Department corruption, Justice Department cover-up, Justice Department being out of control and being breaking the law. Because if we win that argument by September, if it's clear that the problem wasn't Donald J. Trump, the problem was a sick institution which gave 98% of its money to Hillary Clinton, which was consistently protecting Clinton and consistently doing things that were inappropriate to the President of the United States, I think we win that argument. We are dramatically stronger in September and October. And then second, I think that Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise and the others who are going to pick up the banner with Paul Ryan's retirement, they need to work with the president and with the Senate Republicans, and we need to have a 60 to 90-day campaign starting in probably mid-August that draws a vivid, sharp contrast between who we are and who the left is. Just take the economic growth. We should be in every African-American community every day pointing out this is the lowest black unemployment in history. Isn't that a good thing? Wouldn't you like to have a party that actually brought you jobs instead of a party that brought you food stamps? And we got to have the guts to go to every American, win the campaign. You will remember when I first ran, the year I finally won, I was behind 51-37 in September. When George H.W. Bush ran as vice president, he was behind by 19 points in May and won by 8 points in October or in November, which means one in every four Americans switched their position. Campaigns matter, and we can't wage a 6 or 8 month campaign because the elite media hates us so much, and they're going to distort and attack everything we're doing so strongly. But we just need to tee up about a 60 to 90 day campaign, and you'll remember because you were there, we did not launch the Contract with America till mid-September because we knew if we'd launched it too early that the New York Times and others would destroy it. So I think
good advice.
Campaign. I think we can win the campaign.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Now, we're also watching other stories today like, oh, okay, the president tweeting out that, yeah, we've got new weapons and, yeah, it's coming and Syria is going to be punished for what they did to innocent men, women and children. A lot of the propaganda coming out of Russia has been, well, this has got to be the rebels. And we had a lot of people on last night that countered that saying, well, number one, they don't have the means to deliver those weapons and nobody was even certain that they even had access to the weapons. And meanwhile, Assad has a history of using the weapons. Anyway, what are our military options? What's likely to happen here? We have Dr. Sebastian Gorka is with us, and also Scott Uhlinger is a congressional candidate for the 9th District in Pennsylvania, retired CIA operative and Russian intel operations expert. He knows a thing or two about Russian lies and propaganda. And welcome both of you to the program. And I'll begin with you, Scott. Apparently you speak Russian. You worked in the CIA all these years. And also understand how the Russians work. Is Vladimir Putin lying on behalf of Syrian dictator Assad?
I think it's highly likely. First of all, we already basically with the use of the chemical weapons, we know that his promise to President Obama in 2014 to help the Syrians get rid of their chemical weapons obviously didn't work. It was yet another Russian lie. And so now he's threatening to take down some of our Tomahawk missiles should we decide to launch a strike. So really, Vladimir Putin is just showing typical Russian resolve and an ability to try to hit above his weight. But really, Russia is not in the driver's seat in this situation.
All right. So the question is, would the rebels have even the means to, or the weapons and the means to deliver those weapons to launch chemical weapons on innocent men, women, and children? Or if you were to give a percentage of certainty, what are the odds that, in fact, it was Assad's regime?
Yeah, I think it's extremely unlikely that any rebel forces, as much in disarray as they are, would be able to remotely be able to deploy such weapons. It just doesn't seem possible at all. And we have, as you said, we have Assad's history of using them before. And so it's highly, highly unlikely that the rebels are responsible for anything like this. And it's typical Russian disinformation to constantly throw out other narratives to kind of disrupt the story. They did this before during the shootdown of the Malaysian airliner over Ukraine, and this is something taken from their standard playbook of putting out disinformation to confuse the West.
Yeah. Dr. Gorka, let me go to you and ask you very simply, what about Moscow's vow to shoot down any missiles that the U.S. fires? Would Vladimir Putin be that stupid?
No, he wouldn't. They're a paper tiger. If you look at the money that they spend on defense, if you look at the size of their GDP, they are literally a shadow of their former selves as the Soviet Union. The last thing they tried to convince us of is that they have a super missile system. What did they use to convince us? A video that's almost a decade old with a cheap animation that's been on YouTube for at least 6 years. It's a lot of propaganda, misinformation. They may try to do something, but it will be a pathetic attempt in comparison to our capabilities.
Here's the president's comments, Dr. Gorka. He said so much fake news about what's going on in the White House. We're being very calm, calculated, and a big focus on open and fair trade with China, the coming North Korea meeting, and, of course, the vicious gas attacks in Syria. Feels great to have John Bolton and Larry Kudlow on board. We're doing things that nobody thought was possible, despite the never-ending and corrupt Russia investigation, which takes tremendous time and focus. No collusion, no obstruction, other than I fight back. And so now they do the unthinkable, raid the offices of my lawyer for information, which is bad. And then he says Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. He says, get ready, Russia, because they'll be coming nice, new, smart, and you shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills people and enjoys it. And he said our relationship with Russia is now worse than it's ever been, and that includes the Cold War. There's no reason for this. Russia needs to help with their, needs help with their economy, something that would be very easy to do, and we need all nations to work together, stop the arms race. And then the last thing he said is, you know, there's so much bad blood with Russia caused by the fake and corrupt Russia investigation, headed up by all the Democratic loyalists or people that work for Obama. Mueller is most conflicted of all, except Rosenstein, who signed the FISA and Comey letter, no collusion, they go crazy. What do you make of all of it? He's tying it all in together.
I think let's start with the most important thing, and I really hope, you know, we can pick this up and run with this on our side, on the good guys. So we are potentially in a situation where America is going to take military action because of this chemical weapons attack, and Russia says they're going to shoot down our missiles. What does that do for the Russia collusion narrative, Sean?
Oh, it's a great point. What does it do? Answer your own question.
Right? It just kills it.
Nothing. It's dead. Well, but he's already proven that because he's taken all these.
So Mueller should resign today. If we have the Russian government saying they're going to take military action against the president of the United States' response to that attack, then there can be no Russian collusion. So that's number one. Number two, he's absolutely right in what he's saying. Just look at the facts of who's on the team. With John Bolton, with Pompeo still at CIA, with General Mattis, now Secretary Mattis at Defense, with General Dunford, Chief of the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, we have the A team. That literally hard to imagine a better team to deal with this crisis. So America is in good hands, and Assad, Putin, Iran, they're going to be having some sleepless nights. I can assure you that, Sean.
Well, let's see. It's probably happening even as we speak. Scott, let me go back to you, and let's go back to Putin. Why would Vladimir Putin, well, really through his surrogates more than Putin himself, Moscow vowing to shoot down any missiles that are fired, Why would they be defending the use of chemical weapons against innocent men, women and children? And what does it mean? And do you think Putin would be capable of at least attempting to shoot out of the sky an American missile?
I think that, you know, Putin has kind of sort of backed himself into a corner with all of his threats. And over the past several years, the West, until President Trump came along, the West was basically buying into his game. At this point now, he's out issuing empty threats to basically maintain some credibility in front of his Syrian allies. Now, he's going to be coming up short this time because, you know, his anti-aircraft missile systems are going to have may take down some Tomahawks, but they're really at best, but they're not going to be able to blunt an American attack. And plus you have the British and the French possibly responding as well. So Russia is just doubling down on its becoming a pariah in the international community. You know, they just had the diplomatic expulsions of their diplomats worldwide. And so Russia is really having a hard time with its credibility on the world stage right now.
All right. So then what does Putin really do? I mean, because Putin's economy is in a bit of a shambles now, and their number one, the basis of their economy is pretty much energy. And with America now moving towards energy independence, well, that's going to help not only the United States, but it's also probably over time going to wean Western Europe off their dependency of Putin if he ever went rogue and shut down or turned off the spigots to Western Europe.
Right. I think Putin will continue to sound off very loudly, but over time, you're going to see as he continues to run up against the president's resolve, he's going to start toning down his rhetoric. And then I wouldn't be surprised if several months from now, then they start putting out some feelers or maybe slowly disengaging themselves from the Syrian regime, perhaps. He can't overtly do it, because that would be admitting defeat, and that would be a major blow to Russian prestige. But I can see him doing that slowly on the, you know, behind in the back lines, you know, secret lines of communication and all, as he continues to be outflanked by the Trump administration.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say this. I mean, look at China blinking, for example. I mean, nobody pays attention. China
That's
on
right.
intellectual property. China on imports of automobiles and so on and tariffs. And so many other issues, the president of China basically gives in to the president's demand. Everyone was predicting, oh, China is never going to give in to the president. This is going to start a trade war. Well, it's not a trade war. We're going to get better, freer, fairer trade, Dr. Gorka.
It's really quite stunning if you think about the fact that this is a man who just a week ago voted himself president for life. So he really is, you know, the new communist emperor of China, if you will. But as you said, he blinked. He blinked three times. And instead of a trade war, what we have is China understanding that there has been a global reset. Not a badly translated plastic button that Hillary gives to the Kremlin, but a true global reset when the president announced that we are going to have fair trade. And we're not going to continue business as usual in ways that nations like China that suppress the value of their currency, that use underhand means, exploit their membership of the WTO, that is not going to be allowed to undermine national interests and to, you know, steal the jobs and the intellectual property from the United States. So it's just the first sign of surrender that the plan of the president to reset the global economic system is already working, Sean.
Yeah, so it seems like now, let me go back to your expertise, Scott, and your time in the CIA and with Russia. I know that Devin Nunes warned President Obama at the time in 2014, hey, Russia has in the past, they have tried to create chaos and sow discord in the country when it comes to our elections. He warned specifically about 2016. Then we had the DNC hack that took place, but I wouldn't begin to tell anybody where all that information came from. When I interviewed WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, he said it wasn't Russia. It was no state party. But, you know, with Hillary Clinton's email server, you know, on this in this mom and pop shop
right.
bathroom closet, isn't it likely that Russia, China, North Korea, Iran and other hostile actors, that they all had access to everything in there?
There is no question at all that absolutely happened. You have to remember, I mean, these countries regularly assault our classified email systems at state.gov, you know, the State Department or CIA or NSA. They're constantly hacking into very secure networks. So the idea the concept that Hillary Clinton's private bathroom server would not have been penetrated by at least half a dozen intel services is laughable. It absolutely
Well, James Comey, in his original exoneration letter before he took it out, had in there that foreign entities had hacked into her server and then protecting her and not prosecuting her. Part of it was that he took that out.
Exactly. And one thing to remember, as you've said many times, Sean, you know, the hardworking line officers in the FBI and the CIA and the NSA, trust me, they are outraged at this type of, you know, bifurcated law. You know, one set of laws for the regular people like us and another set of laws for the higher ups. I mean, we all have the same clearance. We all had the same clearances. And I've known people who were severely punished for violations that were one iota of what Hillary Clinton has been guilty of, and many other people in the Obama administration. And the rank and file, hardworking people
no, they're
in
furious.
Our intelligence community are outraged.
One of the reasons we're learning so much about the deep state and the abuse of power is because of the good people that work in the FBI and
That's
the intel
right.
community. All right, more with Scott Uhlinger when we come back. Also, Dr. Sebastian Gorka when we get back. 800-941-SEAN. Is our toll-free telephone number. Sarah Carter, David Schoen will be joining us coming up at the top of the next hour, and your calls as we continue. Glad you're with us. All right, as we continue with Fox News contributor Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Scott Uhlinger, by the way, who is a candidate for the 9th Congressional District in Pennsylvania, former CIA or retired CIA operative. How many years were you in the CIA?
I was a total of 16, Sean, and I had some military time as well. So I had a full career at the CIA, and I retired from there as a station chief.
Yeah, and so what can you tell us in terms of Russia? Because Russia, Russia, Russia. I don't know how the Mueller investigation went from Russian collusion, how they ignored Hillary paying for Russian government lies to influence the election, and then that phony dossier that was put together by a foreign national, Christopher Steele, that got the Russian lies, then presented before a FISA court, a whole different issue. But what can you tell us about the mindset? We keep hearing about, you know, all of these, you know, IT hackings and robots and discord that is being sown by Russia. How long has this been going on?
Well, I mean, Russia's been attempting to influence elections worldwide for many, many years. However, you know, their efforts in this past election were relatively pitiful. It's just that the Democrats, because of their crushing defeat, they seek to hang blame for the entire election on this Russian interference, which has always existed and has always been a very minor part of our, you know, elections history. So it's just another false narrative that the Democrats like to put out.
All right. You guys are doing some events together. Real quick, I'll give you, you know, 20 seconds. Dr. Gorka, tell us what you guys are up to.
Yeah. So, you know, for full disclosure, I'm endorsing several candidates around the country, from Kelly Ward to Scott, individuals that I really see following the Make America Great Again agenda. And I was very, very delighted to, what was it, Scott, 10 days ago, give my full endorsement to his campaign. And I'll be traveling to Pennsylvania to spread that message of Make America Great Again.
Well, I share your endorsement. And Scott, you have mine as well. Unless it hurts you, then I'll pull it back, okay?
No. Thank you very much, Sean. The voters in where I live in Pennsylvania, in the 9th District, are very conservative folks, Sean. And believe me, there's a lot of people listening in right now who are big fans.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Well, listen, we're going to follow your campaign throughout, and we wish you all the best.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
Well, I can just tell you that we're not going to just hold in contempt. We will have a plan to hold in contempt and to impeach.
To impeach Christopher Wray?
Absolutely.
But there is no discussions, not last week, not the week before that, and not even yesterday, about firing Bob Mueller.
What about Rosenstein?
You know, really, at this particular point, I think that it's members of Congress who have a bigger problem with Rod Rosenstein, myself included, that he's not giving us the documents and he's not doing his job. And if he's not going to do the job, he needs to go and find one that he will do. And so the frustration with the AG and the deputy AG is probably more a focus of Congress, and it probably makes the president's dissatisfaction pale in comparison.
Should you guys hold them in contempt?
Absolutely. I think at this particular point, they have not complied with a subpoena. They should be held in contempt, and if they can't get it right, you know, here we are. It's interesting. Here we are today, and I met with the new person that they have at DOJ. They can't tell us how many documents they're going to deliver. deliver, when they're going to deliver it, how they redact. Those are three questions that they've had 5 months to answer, and they can't answer it. It's appalling.
Nunes last night suggested even impeaches Christopher Wray. Is that something that's
certainly that's in the toolbox? And at this particular point, hopefully they will comply long before we have to go that route. But it's in the toolbox that we have there. Certainly, contempt of Congress is the first step.
This raid of the president's private attorney and his office and his home, and as he was staying in a hotel, I guess, because of construction, that you say violated constitutional rights, Professor.
Well, you can't just go and sweep up all lawyer-client privileged information and then give it over to some FBI agent or a low-ranking U.S. attorney and say, well, go through it. And the stuff that isn't privileged, turn over to the prosecutors. The stuff that is privileged, well, you can read it and you can study it, but you can't give it to prosecutors. The Fourth and Sixth Amendment don't just protect against use of evidence in a criminal trial. They protect privacy. Imagine if instead of going into lawyer-client privilege, they tape recorded a person's confession to his priest or rabbi, or went into somebody's home and recorded conversations with his wife, or conversations between a doctor and a patient. The lawyer-client privilege is as sacrosanct as that, and there has to be a very, very good reason before any prosecutor should have a right to look at material.
All right, that was Alan Dershowitz last night about the raid on Michael Cohen, the private attorney of Donald Trump, and saying it was unconstitutional. Prior to that, you heard from Devin Nunes. Yeah, he has a plan, and he's going to hold Rod Rosenstein, Christopher Wray, in contempt, and perhaps even get to the impeachment of them if they don't give them the documents they have requested. Mark Meadows echoing that point. And anyway, so joining us now to discuss and debate all these new developments, Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, journalist, Fox News Channel, David Schoen, civil rights criminal defense attorney. Let's start on the legal side of this. Do you agree with Professor Dershowitz and others that I have spoken to about this raid on Michael Cohen's office and home and in his hotel room? What do you think, David?
Not only do I agree with him, I think, quite frankly, with all due respect to him, his response is far too mild. Everyone in the country should be outraged by what happened. Everyone considering going to seek the advice of a lawyer should be concerned. Probably has their rights chilled now as a result of this. The attorney-client privilege is the oldest privilege that we recognize in the law. The attorney-client privilege is at stake here. Work product privilege is at stake. And I don't know Mr. Cohen's continuing relationship with the president. There may be some executive privilege at stake here. But what we do know, focusing on the attorney-client privilege, is it should deter, it will deter anybody else from seeking Mr. Cohen's advice. And it ruins him in a sense. But it goes far beyond that. Look, the Justice Department, for a reason, has in its manual a several multi-part set of requirements before a lawyer's office can be searched like this. Very stringent. Has to have the approval from upstairs. And we know
New York Times is claiming the raid on Michael Cohen sought records on the Access Hollywood tape. So now we've gone from collusion with Russia to Stormy to a Playboy model Karen McDougal, and now to the Access Hollywood tape. And I would argue that this backdoor into everything and anything Donald Trump is a fishing expedition beyond anything we've ever seen in our lives.
That's 100% right. 100% right. And has to be emphasized. But I'll tell you this, Mr. Trump's lawyers must be proactive on this. I made the point earlier, Mr. Trump has his privilege at stake here. He shouldn't worry at this point about public relations, any of this extraneous talk from people. He has to clearly stand up for his rights or risk a waiver. He must insist that there's absolutely no access by anyone in the Justice Department to these documents. And that's been done in the Southern District of New York before in a case with a woman who was representing the terrorist, Lynn Stewart. She herself was convicted of assisting in terrorism. But when they raided her office, the judge in the Southern District of New York, over the objection of the U.S. attorney, required that the U.S.
Do you trust that whoever is designated to filter out what is non-essential or non-related, make sure that it's not tainted in any way? Do you trust that person? Because I inherently do not have that trust.
Well, you're absolutely right. No, and neither did a judge in the Southern District in Lynn Stewart's case.
the Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office there said, well, we have a taint team, a privilege team. They'll go through it. And the judge said, absolutely not. You don't look at a single document. You put those documents under seal. You provide a copy to the defendant, to the target of your search, and we're going to appoint a special master. They appointed a well-known criminal defense lawyer at that time, Gary Naftalis, to review all of the documents for privilege, make an initial analysis of privilege before anyone in the government looks at any of those documents. We don't know who looked at what now. How did they minimize their search, which they're required to do? Did they go through the documents and read them?
Well, Sarah Carter, that raises a lot of issues, but more importantly, you know, dovetail these two issues together. You know, here you have 3,600 documents handed over as it relates to FISA abuse, the exoneration before investigation. We still haven't gotten the IG report as it relates to the handling of the Clinton email investigation. We have a FISA judge lied to, and we can't get any information because Rod Rosenstein, who appointed Mueller, who also signed off on the phony FISA application with trumped up lies that Hillary paid for. You know, the whole thing is beyond incestuous here.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, it's not only Mr. David Schoen and Alan Dershowitz and others who are upset about this in the legal side, but FBI. I can't tell you how many former and senior FBI agents I've spoken with today that are outraged, some of them who just contacted me to just complain, to say they've never seen anything like this. One of them said to me, you know, I was going to give Mueller the benefit of the doubt. I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt until I saw what happened with attorney-client privilege, until I saw this raid on Cohen's office. And I can tell you now, I am 100% certain this is a witch hunt, which makes me wonder, Sean, I hope the attorneys are listening to David Schoen right now. I hope they're listening to their legal rights of what they can do to protect the president's privileged information with his attorney, Michael Cohen, because this is exactly it. And I've talked to these FBI agents. They know what's going down here. They said there is no way that they should trust him with all of that information. They're not just looking for an Access Hollywood tape. If you look at the New York Times story, they're very clear. They collected everything. They collected tax documents. They collected emails. They collected just everything they could get their hands
they on. They got everything. Everything about everybody's private life, confidential deals, business dealings, everything that he was involved in every way, shape, matter, or form. And now we've got James Comey comparing Donald Trump to a mob boss. Really? Are we going to now who are we going to compare him to? A murderer like Al Capone or Lucky Luciano or John Gotti or, you know, Frank Lucas? Where does this end?
No, let's talk about the mob. Let's talk about that. Comparing Donald Trump to a mob boss. Well, this is what I got from an FBI agent. He said, you know, anything about pre-indictment investigations, he compared them to the mob. But worse, they have full control. They have full authority with no oversight over them. He said, look, you can't even fight back, because then the government will accuse you of obstructing them if you fight back in a pre-indictment investigation. He said, so that's what you got to just lay back and take it from the government. And then you have an ex-FBI director, Comey, who basically lied under oath, who leaked information that was government information from his memos to a professor friend, to then have it leaked to the New York Times with the hopes, and he said this himself, of calling on a special prosecutor to go after the president.
Oh, apparently,
this is outrageous.
Apparently successful, and that's the point here, David Schoen, is that the deep state has been successful, and I think that Sarah's analogy is dead on accurate. You fight back, and you want to defend yourself, and the first thing they keep screaming bloody murder is obstruction of justice. You know, people like Trey Gowdy say, well, this is not how innocent people act. And I'm like, that's exactly how innocent people act. They fight back and defend themselves.
Right. You're right. And Sarah's right, as always. But the what's so shocking here is the two sets of standards for everything to do with the investigation of Mr. Trump. Listen. Right now, you've got even Senator Grassley and Congressman Ryan saying, oh, well, you know, Mueller, no one should think about firing Mr. Mueller. That should be sacrosanct. They're talking about passing a bill in Congress now to protect the special counsel. Let's be clear about this, and this hasn't been said enough. The regulations regarding the federal regulations regarding special counsel were developed under President Clinton. They were sold to Congress by Holder, Reno, and a guy named Neil Katyal. Those guidelines specifically built in the power of the president under Article 2 to fire the special prosecutor through the Justice Department. So it's the Justice Department functionary who has to do it, but they recognized and they built in, and the commentary makes clear, the president retains that power. But the way to do it in this case, I believe, is, again, as we said before, examine Mr. Rosenstein. What is sacrosanct about having this person in this position? The executive, the president, was elected by the people to be the executive. Article 2 of the Constitution means something when it says something. These people serve in his agency.
Should he fire? You're saying that Rosenstein needs to go.
Of course. I mean, that's
all right. Stay right there. We'll pick that up when we get back. All right. As we continue with David Schoen and with Sarah Carter, 800-941 Sean is our toll free telephone number. All right. So a lot of this comes down. Is Rod Rosenstein conflicted out of this? How does Rod Rosenstein use Hillary's bought and paid for dossier? He's part of the renewal of this phony FISA application that lied to and omitted critical information before FISA judges. And then he also appoints Robert Mueller. How is he even there, Sarah Carter?
Yeah, we'll have to ask Attorney General Jeff Sessions, right? We're going to have to ask people what's going on here, because there's a lot more questions than there are answers. And, you know, and we know that, at least I do, from talking to a number of sources, that it was Rod Rosenstein that signed off on this, you know, this warrant to go after Cohen. Now, I've been hearing a couple of different stories as to whether Sessions knew or not. I have been told that he was unaware that this was going to come down. That concerns me, because I think that as the Attorney General, he should be aware. I know there's other concerns within the Department of Justice, the fact that when they do turn over information to Congress, it's so highly redacted, and they were told that the only things that were going to be redacted, particularly in those text messages, were, you know, things about their relationship, their family, and then we come to find out, oh, no, wait a minute, they've been redacting the information on Judge Rudy Contreras. They have been redacting names of other players, I have heard, within the Obama administration that were discussed in those texts. And now you have Congress, you know, fighting tooth and nail to continue their investigations, to get the information that they need to inform the American public as well as themselves about what's going on here. And you have a Justice Department and an FBI, by the way, that is struggling to keep that from the public eye and fighting them tooth and nail, which brings us right back to Chairman Nunes and the House Intelligence Committee and their big fight right now to just get this electronic communication, this less than two-page document that's going to explain how they opened this investigation into this alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, which, by the way, there is absolutely no evidence of whatsoever, and that's what this entire special counsel is supposed to stand on.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing.
And, David, that's such a good point. There's no evidence, which I guess is now why we're talking about, you know, records on Stormy, Karen McDougal, and on the Access Hollywood tapes.
All right, listen, if you let anybody dig long enough and far enough to try to make some kind of criminal case out of some kinds of documents, there's a chance, as I say, you can indict a ham sandwich. That's not what we should be about in this country. But
Is it possible to impeach Rod Rosenstein? Should Congress do that?
I don't know if Congress should take that action. It shouldn't be necessary. The president is a tough boss in business. It's his discretion. Rod Rosenstein.
You think the president should fire Rod Rosenstein? What's the fallout from that?
There's political fallout. There's no question. But there's fallout.
Yeah, but there's also Mueller fallout, because Mueller was appointed by Rosenstein. Doesn't Mueller then go DEFCON 5? And I guess maybe he'll look for Donald Trump's first girlfriend when he was 14.
Right. I think what you do, remember, Mueller is subject to Rosenstein or to the person in that position, the acting attorney general's.
All right, we're going to have to let this go. Listen, we'll have more on this tonight. We'll see you both tonight on Hannity. It is outrageous. And then James Comey, you know, comparing the president to a mob boss. Now, do you understand this is a fishing expedition? Your call's next.
How strange is it for you to sit here and compare the president to a mob boss?
This Sunday night on ABC.
Are there things that you know but haven't said that could damage President Trump?
James Comey.
And to those who say you should have brought Hillary Clinton before a grand jury?
The exclusive interview everyone will be talking about.
Was President Trump obstructing justice? Should Donald Trump be impeached?
Stephanopoulos, Comey, this Sunday night at a special time, 10, 9 Central on ABC.
Yes, the best friend that the Clintons ever had that was involved in the war room. Let's give the first interview of James Comey calling Donald Trump a mob boss, and let's...
I never wanted this for Michael. Sonny is a hothead. But Michael, I never understood. Michael's too good for this life. It's a mob. You know, the mob family. The Trump crime family. We've got to watch out for them. Never mind the Clinton mob family. Never mind the Comey mob family. Never mind the Mueller mob family. It always comes down to the Corleone, and it comes down to the Trump crime family. That's all they want to arrest. Nobody else.
This is, why are you all laughing in there? What's? It's not that good.
That moonshine really got to you, huh?
No, I didn't have any moonshine today. By the way, I'm noticing the moonshine goes down dramatically every single day. Who's drinking the moonshine in there?
Listen, there's a lot of Mueller corruption, and every time Mueller says a lie, we drink. So it's going to go quickly, because Mueller never shuts his trap.
Well, apparently everybody likes the moonshine in there, which is interesting. So let me get this straight. So this
Hold on. Can I say thank you to them?
Can I finish first? Can I? Mean,
oh, did you want to host a show? I'm sorry. Go ahead, host.
No.
I'll stand by.
You go right ahead. I'm reclaiming my time here. Go ahead.
We want to give a shout out to Tiny of the Tale of Roberson, Tennessee Mellow Moon Moonshine.
Are they the ones that sent us those jugs?
They sent about 28 bottles of moonshine, so thank you, Tiny.
Whoa. I only see five, so I only got...
Like I said, Mueller's been lying a lot. We've been very busy.
So who took the other,
22 bottles?
Yeah.
There was a Mueller party.
23 bottles. So who's counting, though?
Not me.
Okay, so, well, they sent 28 bottles of moonshine.
I'm being hyperbolic. I'm just kidding.
And
they sent six bottles.
And they do have Kentucky Clear,
They have Kentucky Clear. They have 150 proof. We want to give a shout out to Tiny, the master distiller.
We also love his overalls and flip-flops.
Yes. Amazing.
He could be a character on our favorite show, Duck Dynasty.
He's got a feather in his cap. As far as I'm concerned, he's already in my book. And we want to send a shout out to somebody who was listening to Southern Recipe Small Batch. They sent pork rinds because Sean is obsessed with pork rinds.
I love pork rinds.
But
did you ever watch pork rinds getting made?
That's disgusting.
No, it's not disgusting.
No, you
need to Google how to make.
I'm not Googling.
Listen to me. You've got to Google making pork rinds because they do these little itsy bitsy squares and then they drop them in oil, boom, and they blow up. Bigger than a kernel of popcorn. It's amazing, an amazing process.
In the 5 minutes of free time Linda has a day, you want her to go on YouTube and be like, pork rinds.
Yeah. Listen, I love pork rinds, and they're delicious, and they've got a texture that is to die for. And what they do is they take pig skin and they fry it. That's what they do.
So back to my thank you, which was the original point. Southern Recipe Small Batch, Be Adventurous, Low Carb, Gluten-Free, made with sunflower oil. It's sent from Mark, and he said, Sean, we hope these make your mouth happy. Good snacking, Mark. So thank you, Mark.
Everybody is sending us moonshine and pork rinds.
We're going to be fat and happy. I look forward to it.
Listen, I'm thinking that, now that we're in this war, I just can't get over that we have an FBI ex-director here that is saying and comparing the president to, Al Capone? Al Capone?
Yeah. It's always the Corleone family and the Trump family. It's never the Mueller, a Comey, or Clinton family.
Is you being sick helping you do this? I'm thinking if you keep that raspy voice, you got another career.
Is my voice raspy still? I can't even tell. Really? So we're gonna compare gamblers and gambling, prostitution, bootlegging, drug trafficking, bribery, extortion, murder, and all the like. We're gonna compare the president to that. And that's your former FBI director, the very same guy that literally was involved in so many different crimes himself, from, releasing information that was privileged with the president, seeking his BFF Robert Mueller to be the special counsel. If I'm Robert Mueller and I'm seeing what Comey's doing, I'm saying this is a disaster. Because now people see that this is a witch hunt. Between that and invading the lawyers' offices and home, and grabbing every record on Donald Trump they can, and now looking at Access Hollywood, Stormy Daniels, and Karen McDougal, that I'm sure that Stormy has a lot to offer on Russia interference. I'm sure Karen McDougal, the former Playboy Playmate of the Year, she has probably a ton of information on Vladimir. And I've got to believe the Access Hollywood tape, that's going to reveal everything that we've ever wanted to know. It's unbelievable. This is a witch hunt and a fishing expedition.
and started in large part by a guy that thinks that Donald Trump is a mob boss murderer.
Wow.
Okay, well, we're going to put together tonight something that I think everybody's going to like. Well, if that's the analogy that everybody wants to use, then let's make it applicable across the board, and we'll put up our chart of the Mueller crime family, the Comey crime family, and the Hillary Clinton crime family.
Are you doing a six-hour special tonight? That's how much time you need.
I'm going to try and do it quickly.
And let's remember that it was Bob Mueller over there that when he was back in his days in Boston, didn't want to talk about Whitey Bulger. Oh. Talk about having real contacts to the mob. Talk about, literally hiding where the bodies are buried. I want to take a look at his
What about the four guys that went to jail over this Whitey Bulger case?
You know what? That would be a great interview, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If they ever felt compelled to talk again, I would love to hear what they went through.
Why don't we ask those two people that lived, because two of them actually died in prison.
Yes, I'm aware, but their family suffered along with them. I'm sure they would
love... $100 million. Why don't we? That's a great idea. Why don't we find?
I have
the
to give a hat tip to Ethan on that. Ethan had that idea first.
Okay. Why don't we? Why are we giving credit out? Who
cares? That's what we do here. We play fair here on the Sean Hannity Show. Unlike
Sean
the
Hannity
Mueller crime
show?
Family.
All right. So why don't we get the four Merrill executives that were put in jail by Andrew Weissman?
I'm sure they love Mueller. I'm sure Mueller would love to bury all those stories.
I'm serious. We ought to. Well, let's put those families on.
That's right. We'll have a little storm of our own. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah, we'll call it. That would be the Comey crime family and the Mueller crime family.
The Mueller manifesto. Let's take a look into
it. The Clinton crime family.
Fantastic.
But right now, it's only about the Corleones and the Trump crime family. What about the Mueller crime family? I never wanted Michael to get into this business. I never wanted Donald to get into this. Sonny, yeah.
All right. I think it's the worst imitation of Marlon Brando ever.
You actually do a pretty good job. I mean, I tell you you stink. Like when you do that stupid Clinton joke at your speaking events, it's upsetting. But this is good.
What's upsetting? I want to talk to all the hot chicks.
Don't do it.
Oh.
Wasn't an invitation.
Wasn't an invitation?
Slick Willie.
I'll give you a tour backstage everything. I'll do anything you
want. The worst part is you think that joke is appropriate at 11 in the morning. And I'm looking at you like, no, stop.
Listen, I didn't do it at the last event.
Oh, you tried.
No,
you got real close.
I didn't do it.
And then
though.
You said, you know what? The cliff is looking kind of high. I'm not going to do
it. There wasn't enough drinking in the room by that
time. This is very true.
And Joel Lieberman's wife
was
there.
I had four glasses, though.
Yeah, because you knew the whole speech. You're sitting there.
I knew that joke.
I watch you sitting there, and you're like marking off. Yeah, check, check, check. That's really all right. Let's go to Marshall. Who wants to suck up to Linda in Gainesville, Florida? Marshall, what's going on? Why do you want to suck up to Linda? Everybody does.
Sean.
Yeah.
Patrick O'Hannity.
Yes, sir. Yes, me Irish brother.
I am about to I'm about to vomit. Regurgitation is out. I don't know how long I have to talk. So. I'll try to talk faster, but I'm to the point of vomiting, and I've got to lighten this up, okay? So to get to the important things first, Linda and Lauren are angels. You need to quit overworking them.
Overworking them?
You need to put them on a pedestal and worship them. They are angels.
We love you, Marshall.
Okay, I'm going to put them on a pedestal and worship them and not ask them to work
anymore.
I'd like
my pedestal to be made of marble.
Well, with all due respect, you have no idea. I treat everybody on my staff very well, do I not? That's a question. Thumbs up doesn't answer that, Ethan.
Ethan has a really high pedestal, actually.
Do I not take good care of you in every way imaginable?
Why can't you just go along with
this? No, why can't you?
This is wonderful. Just let us have a moment in the sun.
Why can't you just say, you know what? Hey, Marshall, my boss, Sean, he's really good to all of us. Why don't you do that?
It's a shame that you try to sound like me because you don't.
All right, Lauren's not even going to defend me. Really?
It's one thing to treat us well. It's another thing to treat us like the angels that we are.
Like a princess.
Okay, I don't worship at the feet of any human being. Thank God.
Well, see, that's your first mistake.
All right, well, that's where I'm staying. Thank you, Marshall. I got it. Crazy surfer Di goes surfing every day out in Hawaii. How are you?
Hey, aloha, Sean.
Aloha. What's going on out in Hawaii? I guess you're out there surfing away at this noon part of your day.
Oh, and actually, you'd love it. I was diving this week and I saw two big sharks.
Yeah, great. That's why I'll never go surfing.
Exciting. I thought of you, too. I'm like staring at these sharks going up for this bait ball of fish, and I'm thinking, oh, man, Sean would love this. He would absolutely love it.
Okay, and how many shark bites take place every year out in Hawaii?
you know, they don't really bite divers, so
But they do attack people, yes or no?
They do, but October is our, you know, bite season here because the mama tiger sharks are, you know, very feisty then, and they tend to bite people in October. So as long as you're very safe in October, chances are you're going to be fine.
All right, quick comments, Di. We got to roll. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I was very happy to see Mr. Dershowitz on your show last night on Hannity. I have much respect for him standing up for the rule of law and the Constitution rather than being a straight partisan on these issues, you know, about this Cohen raid. I'm disturbed at the number of people that are not free thinking and able to use common sense with these issues. They just kind of soak up whatever media narrative is of the day. And I don't think that Trump should take the bait and fire Mueller and Rosenstein on this either, because, I mean, it's almost like that's what the media wants him to do. Like, I don't know. You're going to debate it all day long, I'm sure, but I don't know if it's the right thing to do. Everything in the news seems to be a narrative, and I'm getting tired of it.
Well, I got to tell you, it's going to be a bumpy ride because now it's basically a declaration of war on the presidency. And frankly, the American people who elected the president, they're now pulling out every stop, every single thing that they can possibly do to bring him down. All right. Surfer died. Thank you. South Carolina, Mario standing by. What's up, Mario? How are you?
Hey, great. Thank you, Shark, for taking my call. I've got a couple of three things that I want to talk about. One is Sessions.
Yes,
sir. Sessions needs to go. He's part of the deep state. He's not representing Trump the way he should be. So what we need is to get his number, give us his telephone number, whether it's in Washington, his home, whatever. We got to get rid of him. And the only way we can do it is we put a plan together, call him, and just wear him out and get rid of him. The other one is the bait and switch program that Mueller pulled with the South New York attorney. Wonderful game. However, I guess that all of a sudden moves to Comey's deal, and Comey now all of a sudden loses his attorney-client privilege, which would mean that we can ask him or go into the attorney's deal and find out what is really going on and get that piece of it done.
Let me tell you, the ship has sailed. And the ship has sailed because you've got an unrestrained, out-of-control, rogue prosecutor that is hell-bent on hurting this president and getting to the point where he can write a narrative of impeachment. And they're going to try and do it any way they can. And they're going to push and push and push. And, you know, the good thing is you got members of Congress now, like Mark Meadows and some others, and Jim Jordan saying, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. And they're now urging, you know, that Sessions, Rosenstein be held in contempt and Ray be impeached, and we get a whole new team in there, which I don't think is a bad idea. Let them do their job. All right, things are wrapping up here for today. We got an amazing show tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. One of the things, if James Comey now, on the eve of his big publicity book tour and his I'm arrogant, I was right, and I didn't commit any crimes and I shouldn't be investigated tour. Okay, well, we'll get into that tonight, because if Trump's a mob boss, does that mean there's the Comey crime family and the Mueller crime family and the Rosenstein crime family? And, oh, does that also mean that the Clinton crime family exists? We'll get into all of that. Joe DiGenova, Alan Dershowitz are on tonight. Sarah Carter, Michelle Malkin tonight. Congressman Mark Meadows tonight. Lara Logan of 60 Minutes. Greg Jarrett, Sebastian Gorka. All right, so that's all coming up tonight. The best information you will get. I promise you the mainstream media won't be getting into this, because the mainstream media, oh, they're going to be talking about Stormy and McDougal. And they'll be talking about, oh, the Access Hollywood tape, believe it or not, and taxi medallions, because that's where their mindset is. You know, what does any of this have to do with Russia collusion? Anyway, we'll see you tonight at 9. Thank you for being with us. Back here tomorrow.